You are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. Well, it's been quite an incredible week in the body of Christ. Can I say that? And it's so important for me to communicate to you my love for you and my appreciation for you as well. It's as I look at the retreat and I see all those women coming together and having a hunger for the things of the Lord, desiring a transformation in heart and spirit, trying to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the activity of your lives, to get that chance to get away like that, God is well pleased, by the way. So I'm really pleased for the women to have had that opportunity, and we haven't had an opportunity like that since COVID. And so to have that finally was a celebration. And this week we also had an opportunity to gather together as leaders, and we had a chance to really hear from the heart of the Lord about what he wants to do here at Joy and what he is doing at Joy. And those who are in the ministry here at Joy who were present and just their hearts to hear and participate and belong to something bigger than themselves and to hear that God is on the move here at Joy and wants to do things yet not done in this place. And just to hear and be with people who are hungry to see God move in a new way here at Joy. That was such a blessing for me to participate in that time together. And then we had the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, downtown in the city. And I just want to thank Susan Morehouse for serving. She hates when she's actually pointed out like that. She's a one. Listen, guys, this woman is a silent missile in the hands of the Lord. Don't mess with her. I'm telling you. She smiles on the outside, but she's dangerous on the inside. And I just love watching her minister to the community and just all the people from Joy. There was such a beautiful representation of our church family at that event. And to hear our mayor get up and declare his faith openly and read the scriptures, but knowing he was a believer and just making no nonsense that he wasn't there to fill a position. He was there to bring God glory. I was like, yes, hallelujah, Jesus. So my heart was full. And then that night, we got to go to Greece and more Joy people showed up at Greece Assembly. And it was a large gathering of over 500 people at that church. And we prayed for 3 hours, folks. It was just an amazing encounter with the Lord. And to be have the privilege to represent Joy and to pray down the kingdom of heaven for this place, this community. What a privilege it is to represent you as God's people. And then we've had some wonderful things happening at the Hope Shop. Friday, it was buzzing at the Hope Shop. And they just finished a whole inspection with Food Bank and the Food Bank Ministry, Food Link, I should say, not Food Bank, Food Link. And they got an A+ for an outstanding service. That's amazing. I bet if you went in there, you wouldn't even recognize the joint. It's so amazingly redesigned. And just to witness what God is doing amongst that staff and the volunteers. Thank you, Janelle and Patrick, for an outstanding job. It's wonderful. So just so proud of you. And then we were here yesterday. We didn't even think we were going to get a chance to clean. And to see all those people come out and say, this is the place God has given me to plant my feet. I'm going to make this place beautiful, so that it brings God glory and honor. And I just want to say, those are the things that nobody talks about, just gets done. Can I tell you, Jesus talks about those things. They're significant in the kingdom of God. And when people walk by this place, we don't want it to look like it used to be a funeral home. We want it to look like it's a place of God's glory. Amen? That's what the people were doing yesterday. I say to all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so blessed to watch all these things unfold. Week after week after week, God is on the move in this place. Good to see you. Nice to see you. Good to see you. So you're saying, well, is this the sermon? No, we got to get started. We're in the book of Hebrews. We're in the sixth chapter today. And I want to talk about grow beyond the basics. That's what I want to talk about to you this morning. And that's a good message to all of us. Grow beyond the basics. And I think there's a challenge to the body of Christ at large where God is saying it's time to move from the milk to the solid food. And that's not to reprimand us. That's to encourage us to experience everything that we were singing about this morning. That everything that was sung about is what God is currently doing and bringing the body into this place of maturity as we stand in the presence of God, as we worship together in the presence of God, as we celebrate communion and what that represents regarding the cross. It's so powerful to when the Holy Spirit is saying to the body, I am moving you in a new direction. I'm calling you out. And I'm saying to you, grow beyond the basics of your faith. Amen. So let's go to read verses. And if I don't get done, I'm not panicking, but I'm taking my time today, just so you know, because there's a lot of rich stuff in here. And it can get a little complicated because it's filled with a lot of theology, but I'll do my best to break that down for you. But first, let's pray, because I do need the anointing this morning. Heavenly Father, without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it's just a bunch of information. I'm not interested in information. And Father, it just stimulates the intellect, our intellect. And we want it all. We want our intellect to be stimulated. We want our hearts to be stimulated. We want our souls to be massaged. And we want the Word of God to transform us. Please, Holy Spirit, come and visit us. Open up the Word. Bring revelation, impartation, and transform us. We pray for your glory. Amen. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, circle that if, by the way, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks of the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak of this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. There's the hope. Things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him
as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Ooh, those are rich, rich, rich verses from the Word of God. I remember when I was young and I wasn't saved, and I was touring with a summer company called the Muskoka Summer Festival. And I was we used to go as a festival and minister at various resorts. And so this first year that I was involved in the festival, it was a real elegant summer resort. And it was called the Elgin House. And so we were responsible to go in and set up each week two shows. We put the sets up, tear the sets down. And one of the shows that they wanted us to bring was the show called The Fantastics. And The Fantastics, songs I try to remember, you know, soon it's going to rain, and I can see it, a metaphor, and all these various popular songs in the 60s, actually. And it's actually not a straightforward play. It's actually an allegory. And so the audience was an elderly audience. I'm not going to say which age they were, but they were elderly. We'll just say that. And they would bring buses in, and people would come in and stay on site at the actual retreat, the resort. And so we started the Fantastics, and the people hated the show. Hated it. I got terrible reviews in the newspapers. And there was one night in the opening week, I think it was the opening night, and you heard all these wheelchairs clashing together, heading for the door. And it was like a traffic jam down in downtown Toronto. I mean, they could not move those wheelchairs quick enough. You heard people saying, "What is she doing?" And then they'd scream and say, "Oh, he's going to kiss her. This is terrible." And just things like that. And what they wanted is they wanted us to go back to the basics. They wanted a song and dance review. That's what they wanted. They wanted soft shoe, sing-alongs, comedy. If they looked at the cast, there was not too much comedy in that cast, is all I had to say, except me. And so we had a week and a half. We had already spent 2 months in rehearsals putting the musical together and another presentation as well. But we had to shut that down, and within a week and a half, we had to come up with another show. And so we did that, and we put on the Roaring Twenties. Oh, yeah. We roared all right. And they loved the kick lines, and they loved the sing-alongs. And the love T for Two, I had to do a soft shoe in that show, and I got to do T for Two and all that stuff. And people got up and sang wonderful solos. And at the end of the first show, we got a standing ovation. There were no wheelchairs heading for the door. We actually got an encore. They wanted more. You see, when you want fluff, you want fluff. And I learned a real lesson from that experience when I got saved. You learn from all your experiences, and you see God teaching you realities from those experiences into the Word of God. And you see that the people, the Hebrews, the Jews, were in a position due to persecution. They were really under a lot of persecution from moving from the practices of their traditional faith to moving into a salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ's lifestyle. And then you had Rome making all these decisions at the time, emperors making decisions that were redirecting and forming the church at the time. And so there was a lot of persecution. And the author of Hebrews wanted his readers to avoid spiritual dullness. He didn't want them to go back to what they knew, what was comfortable, what would kind of feed their souls or their flesh at that time. And he wanted them to move past the basics of a kick line and a sing-along into deep teachings of the faith. And this passage urges the readers to be proactive in their spiritual lives, never resting on their laurels as they work towards the goal of spiritual maturity. It's a process. It's a progression, right? Spiritual maturity doesn't happen because you had one encounter with God. It's that one encounter with God, that revelation of the word, that understanding of a scripture is only to feed the soul, not to get you to put it in a box and keep it so that you practice it day after day, but so that when the Lord's moving in a new way, when the Lord's speaking in a new way, when the Spirit's about to do something fresh in your life, that you have those foundational truths and you can build on those foundational truths. But what they were doing is they were reliving all those foundational truths in the sense of relearning them over and over and over because it was something they were comfortable doing. And also they were, they were stimulated by the intellectual practice of debate, arguments, and religious thinking. And it was disrupting them from experiencing the power of the Spirit and from a fresh revelation. They were now moving in a spirit of religion. You have to understand that. And there is a religious spirit and an intellectual spirit that comes when all you want to do is know more about God. A lot of people want to know about God, but they don't want to know God. And that's what he's addressing in these 12 verses. He's saying you're intellectually stimulated. You can argue and debate the scriptures. You can show the ethics of God in it, but your lives are not representing what you've learned, and it's time to move on from that into, listen, the practices of your faith. They didn't want to do that. Also, they were actually stopping the Holy Spirit from moving within the gatherings. They didn't want what was happening on Pentecost to happen in their lives. They wanted to have an intellectual domination of tradition, ritualistic behavior and practices rather than an intimate relationship with God, experiencing the power of the Spirit. And that's what this writer is addressing. He's saying you don't want to enter into sanctification. You don't want to mature from where you were before you were saved into the fullness and the fullness of Christ that your life might imitate him. That's what he's addressing here. People think it's about, oh, get away from all the foundational teachings. Can I tell you? Don't get away from the foundational teachings. You need them because you're going to build upon them. And we need to teach them. But there comes a time, if you've been saved for several years, I say to you, where are you in your relationship with God? What is God currently doing, speaking, and being in your life? And what areas of your old self, your old way of thinking, your old behaviors, your relational patterns, how have they been sanctified? Because that's going to affect your faith, and that's going to affect the way you make your stand for Jesus Christ. He's saying, get up and go is what he's saying. I love it. And I hear that, the Lord speaking to me. Can I tell you, this last 2 years, I'm living this. He's called me out on so many attitudes, so many hang-ups, habits in my lives, so many relational damaging things that I do as a person. many old ways that he has been actually going after. I've been saved now almost 40 years. Sometimes I feel like a baby. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he's saying, Lachlan, grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to take seriously when my grace is granted to you, when my word visits you, when my spirit is moving upon your life, and you stubbornly say, I'm going to stay the way I am. That's what he's addressing. We don't like that because we like to be educated. We like to hear the next truth. We love insights from the word because it gives us power. And then we can speak like we have the authority of God. He's saying you're moving from a positional relationship into an intimate relationship. Wow. Okay, hold on, folks. That's just my intro. Hold on. I love when God says to us, it's time to leave something and move into something. Hebrews 6 urges us to take our faith beyond only knowing about God to being in Christ and doing the ministry of the potential he's placed within us. And I want to share three challenges that I see in these 12 verses to help us take our faith beyond knowing about God to knowing God. How many of you want to know God? I do. I want to know God. I want to be thrilled with knowing God. I was at this meeting, this prayer meeting in Greece. Please don't hear this as if I'm bragging, because I'm not bragging, but I was really struggling because I was supposed to go up and speak and lead this prayer portion of the meeting. And if you heard all the other pastors who went before me, I was like, what am I doing here? These guys were eloquent. These guys had insights I had never even thought of. And I'm like, so I had to bow my head and humble my heart and said, I don't know why you brought me here, Lord. You know what the Lord spoke? He said, that's enough. You know what it is? You know why you're here? I'm like, no, I don't. I was terrified. He said, you're here because you carry my heart. You're here because you'll listen to my spirit. And you're here because you love my church. I went, okay, I'll pray. You hear what I'm saying? What gets in your way, folks, of being and doing? Because we feel that we have to impress others. Listen, this was me. I'm being honest. This just happened on Thursday. I had to impress others about how much I knew about God. I'm just repenting of that. Actually, I did repent of that. I got in the car and I went, Lord, I'm so sorry about that. Despite that sin, you still willingly will use me. Isn't that encouraging? So I'm not bragging, I'm repenting. And it's good. I want to move into the first three verses. And as I was thinking about this, one verse really ticked me off. And I read it over and over, and I meditated on it, and I had several ideas about it, and I researched it, and I prayed about it, and it's verse 3. Read that with me. And God permitting, we will do so. We will do what? We will mature. We can't do this thing without God. It's not all about the doctrines of the faith. It's realizing that God, through His Spirit and the love of His Son, reveals those doctrines, reveals those truths. Those He builds our foundation. He calls us to assess it. But then He says, now, right now, I want you to move beyond that into the new revelation of what I'm currently doing in my Spirit through my Word. And so He does that, and I thought of that one verse, and I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what are you talking about here? And He said, James, I'm the one who grants you to grow. You agree, you work alongside with me, you grab what I've given you, and you make something of it, but I permit it. I make it happen in you. And never take the glory of what you are today away from me. I've done that, Buckle. I'm the one who did this. Yes, sir. And so what I want to talk to you is God motivates us. He motivates us to grow deeper in our faith. Not deeper in our faith so we have a greater intellect and we are stimulated by the higher thoughts of the kingdom of God. Are there higher thoughts in the kingdom of God? There are many. The greatest theologians are still trying to discover them. Amen? But He's saying, oh, church, I want you to have faith to grow in an intimate relationship with me. I'm calling you to that place. I want a deeper faith. And knowing about God is not the same as knowing God, Reverend Bill Thomas said. Knowing about God is not the same as having this personal relationship. Knowing God involves far more than knowing about Him. It requires a tangible faith. Taking that information, taking that insight, taking that revelation, taking that impartation, and when you receive it, saying, God, I want my faith to grow so that I'm capable that when I don't see it, I can still believe it. We act like we see it all. We don't see it all. We don't see half of it. But it doesn't mean that we're not meant to see. Amen? But we are surely called to activate our faith. And He's asking us to stimulate the faith muscle of our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits to give us that ability to know more about what God is about to do in, through, with, and around you. I love that. In order for the Jewish believers to mature, they had to move beyond the principles of the doctrine of the faith. And it mentions six essential doctrines of the faith. These are essential. And He's not saying to them they're not important. They are. They're very important to our faith. He's saying just don't stay there and rest in your laurels. Move beyond this. And they must not lose them. They must not despise them. They must not forget them. They must not rest in them. They must not always be laying the same foundation. They can assess it, but it's time to build a little bit more higher. They must go on and let God build it. I remember when we were ministering in Minnesota. And Minnesota is a very the city in which we were ministering is a very educational focused environment. 20,000 people lived in the small city, but there were four colleges. That's huge, by the way, for a small city. And so there was an intellectual spirit, a religious spirit, actually. And the people wanted you to feel their hunger to know more about God. But the minute you cross the line into any form of emotion about God, feelings about God, or what God might want to do to change your heart or your spirit, there was a resistance. They could tell you great insights from the Word, but when you looked at the lives they were leading, they were one-dimensional Christians. Very serious. Very serious. I remember I was asked by the elders to actually design some teachings and life groups where they could actually take and deepen their understanding of the essentials of the faith to stir their minds. And so that's not my greatest strength. Sometimes I wonder if I have a mind. You know what I mean? And so here we are. We had to put a team together, and we had to design all this information. We had to give it a new title. We had to do, there was a lot involved in writing a new curriculum. Then we had to put it into the small group ministry, and they had a lot of information. But when it came time to apply the information, they weren't ready for that. That's the difference of being at Joy. And God did it in you. He's not saying don't become intellectual. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying don't be intelligent about the Word at all. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're very intelligent about the Word. But what is beautiful about the people of Joy is they see their brokenness. They see what God's done to deliver and redeem them from their brokenness. You don't want to stay in your brokenness. And the beauty about who we are as a people, because I'm going to include me in this now. You know, I'm almost here 10 years. June 2nd, I'll be here 10 years. So I can say we now. And the beauty about we is we understand it does take Jesus to transform us. His Word, His Spirit, His love. It's just amazing. And he's still saying to Joy, I want you to move forward. I want you to mature. I really want to see you grow to become imitators and participators in the beauty of Christ's salvation. That's what I want. Isn't that beautiful? And the guy who wrote Hebrews is saying the same thing. And he was hoping they would grow and be able to digest more solid food. He was encouraging them that as they humbly depended on God, they would teach the people what to do, how to grow a vital faith. You see, a vital faith is all three of those components. Four, it's a personal relationship, number one. It's growing in the knowledge and the Word of God, number two. It's being in Christ and using all he's poured into us to actually touch others for him, right? And then there's the go. When you look at our church's discipleship process, there's four words that we use to actually include what he's talking about. We want people to glorify Jesus. That's what we want first. Then we want people to grow in the Word and grow in relationship and grow to mature Christians. Then we want people to be givers. We want them to give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. And then we have to say go. That's why we have the ministry center next door, because that creates a go, not the go. It's not the only go, right? It's one of the goes. And so that was created so that people could be fully discipled in Christ. That's our heart's desire. And that's what the writer's talking about in these first three verses. The writer exhorts them that God would enable them to get on with it. I say, get on with it. Get on with it, Joy. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Spirit of God. Learn about the truths. Get together in Bible studies. Get on with it and really begin to apply the things he's doing in your life. Grow in your ministry potential. touch the world with what? The redeeming love that transformed you. Amen. You are filled with the redeeming love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who comes into contact with you, man, they should get a buzz because you're around them. You know those tasers? Woof! You should walk in a room, people go, woof! Wow! You can say, that's the love of God in me. I walk over here, watch what's going to happen to Marco. I walk over and he should go, whoa! There, can you do it a little more exciting? I'll get a little closer. There. Whoa! Nice job, Marco. Oh, that was exciting. I got something back from that. But that's the key. That's the key about maturity. When you are willing to give it out, it comes back. And when it comes back, just like he did with me, we were joking, but there are many times actually I've spent with Marco and I've always received back. And I'm changed. That's the life of the body. Amen? That's the redemptive love. The world is out there, folks. It's hurting. It's blind. It's ignorant. It's oppressed. It's imprisoned. It's sick and alienated. It's currently in spiritual darkness as never before. And without our God's hope, there is no hope. Jesus is our hope. And it needs people like you who have vital faith, who are growing deeper in their faith, who are experiencing the word in a way that others don't even know the word can transform them. They've never experienced the power of Christ's redeeming love and the possibilities when that love enters your life and begins to change the way you think and the way you interact and the way you live your life in such a way that when you walk in a room, they're tasered by the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of walking in a room and having no impact. After I prayed that Thursday night, there was another pastor sitting down by me. And I walked down and I kind of just was like, oh my, what just happened? And he did this fist pump and he said, you got God. And I went, whoo. That's the taser. That's the taser. You've got God. Yes, you know the foundational truth. Yes, you've grown in the Word. Yes, you know the Holy Spirit. But you are cultivating through a personal relationship with God in such a way that people are spiritually tasered and they have to do something about it. Amen? Come on, Christopher. Be a taser for Jesus. Stephen, when you play those keys, you dance on them for Jesus. Taser them. Dr. Bill, no nonsense, mister. Get up and be a taser for Jesus. Amen? Sharon, you are a taser already. Come on. You're dangerous for Jesus. Pastor Greta, come on, girl, be a taser for Jesus. Sparks are going to fly in this place. Come on. We're in a new season. This is just point one, folks. We're not here for point one, point two. We're here for life. We want to experience God today, right? Don't we want to do that? That's what we're doing. Let's stand and pray and commit our hearts to the Lord. What a great day this has been in the household of God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're urging us to take our faith today, beyond just knowing about God, to experiencing you, to being in Christ and an imitator of Christ and taking the gospel message and the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ to a world that is so beyond alienated from God. But through vital faith in God's people, this world will continue to be transformed by the gospel message. We are committing to be tasers in the Spirit. We pray that when we walk in a room, when we walk into a situation, when we walk, Lord, into a grocery store, or we're out doing our thing in the workplace, in our neighborhood, Lord, that when people interact with us, the Spirit of God would fall. The Spirit of God would move. The words that we would receive, the insights we would be given, Father, would even have a prophetic utterance, and lives would be transformed for the glory of God. We pray, Father, that salvation favor would fall on this congregation. And Father, that our vital faith would be marked, Lord, as we move out in faith to see people come to the saving graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody wants to participate in that, put your hand up. That's what you want to do. Lord, look at all these people. Actually, the word taste in this scripture is mentioned twice. It means I'm participating with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Isn't that cool? So, Lord, these are people who taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. These are people who are saying, I'm a sharer in Christ, and I'm going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. These are people who have been participating along their journey to be transformed for glory to glory, from glory to glory. Let them witness the glory of God in others, we pray, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Let's thank the Lord for His goodness. We're going to have a time of ministry here at the altar. We're going to have the prayer ministry team come forward. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Remember, you are currently moving beyond the basics. Enjoy your week.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.